killed. They will beat you or kill you, steal your clothes, and they sell pot, alcohol, little cigarettes, candy, the whole nine yards. And the security guards that used to work for the city got their jobs by paying $500 under the table when I was in the shelters. And they would be just as nasty as anyone else, and they treated the homeless very bad. They were drinking, and if you wasn't in by a certain time, you know, they would just throw you out. And I mean, the hawk would be out there. It's supposed to be changed, but basically it's the same. Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel safe sleeping outside in the streets or in the subway. Certain trains are safer than other ones, whereas in the years ago, the police used to hit you on your feet. If you had shoes on and you're sleeping, they'd hit you on your knees or your shoes. And that shit would hurt and sting, and they would want you to attack them. Some people would just try to hit somebody or act crazy so they could get incarcerated, and they would get three hots in a cot.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, when they had bums, that people were called bums and alcoholics, they would stay drunk all during the spring and summer, and in the winter, the police would arrest them, and the judge would sentence them to maybe 6 or 8 months. So when spring came back around, they would be physically and mentally coherent, and they'd go back out the street and do their thing. But now it's a whole different ballgame.
Is there much racial harassment back and forth among within the homeless community? I mean, do you find, you know, New York is a multiracial city, black, Hispanic, white, and many other, colors and nationalities.
Now, getting ethnically and interracial, homeless people are less prejudiced than the main media. If I have a cigarette, I'll share it, just like in jail. The only prejudiced people that you have are not homeless are the ones that are selling drugs, because they have their own crew. But most of the time, homeless people stick together when they go to different churches or synagogues or mosques to eat. It's all interrelated. Everything is harmonious. The outside, the only problem you have is if somebody is stealing something from you. Like if you're sleeping in a certain place by yourself, two or three people catch you when you're sleeping and steal your personal property.
Any estimates on the number of homeless people in Manhattan?
I'm sorry?
Any estimates on the number of homeless in Manhattan?
That's a catch-22. They give statistics. The city will give statistics, but it's fabricated.
What do you think?
I can't even imagine, because if people are in and out. If something is swinging...
How big is Manhattan? Well, the population of Manhattan is, what, a couple million? Or?
I'd say close to 1.9 million in New York City.
Would you say that at least 50,000 homeless are in Manhattan?
Easy. Mm-hmm. But they won't show it. And a lot of people are one check away from being homeless. And they don't consider the middle class people who may not be working, and they will stay with relatives or neighbors or just stay in the street because they're too proud to get assistance. Years ago, when I was coming up, if you were on welfare, that was a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle class people who are old timers generally don't want to go through the system. It's like a disgrace. And if they tell friends, friends won't speak to them. I mean, we have a lot of people working with us that are middle class and very educated. And they don't want to wear a uniform, or they don't want to have a street news hat or anything. They're just plain clothes and just sell a paper.
We're talking to Indio Washington, head of street news, or Indio, just plain Indio. Indio, what about Tompkins Square Park? I read a lot about...
Tompkins Square Park.
That's a park in the Lower East Side where there were sort of conflicts with the police and the counterculture community kind of gathered for a while.
It was famous, and I lived there when I was homeless. And they took over the park. Now it's very clean. No homeless are allowed. They close it up after it gets dark. And originally, it's famous for the riot, and people stood up and fought. Now it's completely revamped, and it's being revamped into an upper middle class park.
Does it have a petting zoo, perhaps?
It has a place for dogs. It's almost like the Washington Square Park, but we still go there in memorial during the summer. come in, people will parade.
Well, I understand the latest attempt to decriminalize marijuana, which tried to meet in Tompkins Square Park, was turned away by Giuliani's police, so they had to meet outside the park. I guess it was in May or something?
Well, we always try to legalize marijuana, and we have a marijuana day. It's generally in Washington Square Park.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people will get arrested because now in Washington Square Park they have the TV screens and they have TV monitors in the park. So people who sell grass, crack, and whatnot.
So we're not talking about television that people on the street get to watch. We're talking about the surveillance cameras that watch them, right?
That's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is New York is becoming the model city. They're talking about there's less deaths. Everything has went down except police brutality, which they don't talk about. And the homeless, forget about the homeless.
What about police brutality against the homeless? Do you have any sense of whether it's increasing, decreasing, staying the same?
It's always increased. The thing is, no one cares about the homeless. Homeless people generally don't vote, even though now we can vote because we can use a post office box. The thing is, there's not really a leader ever since Mr. Mitchell passed away.
Mitch Snyder, yeah.
Right, Mitch Snyder, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big advocate. We have a lot of people who, there's a, what's his name, George McDonald. He has a Doe Fund, it's called, and it's named after the homeless woman that froze to death in Grand Central Station. He has a program now that takes homeless people, ex-offenders, and substance abusers, and gives them training where they stay and work and learn a trade, and that lasts from 6 to 19 months, and it's moved on to Jersey and Washington. So Mr. George McDonald has been doing something. He fights the Coalition for the Homeless. Coalition for the Homeless believes that the only way to assist homeless is through housing.
Mm-hmm.
George McDonald is the opposite, but he used to work when Mayor Dinkins was in office. Plus, he's quite wealthy, and he has contracts with the city and the government, and Mario Cuomo's son is also assisting him with funds. So that program is working.
Now, when I came to New York City a couple years ago, I stayed in squats on the Lower East Side. Are those squats still around? Are they still, is that still happening?
No, you don't even see homeless people with shopping carts anymore. That's basically, homeless people may have a plastic bag with clothing. But years ago, we used to have shopping carts with all our belongings, and we could sell things and whatnot. That's all played out. They did away with all the little places where people used to sleep and make a community. They stopped that, and they're pretty rough.
Now, I also get information from New York City by reading the magazine or newspaper Shadow. Have you read that?
Shadow has been around for a good while. They basically, they're very good. They used to be underground, but their paper costs 50 cents, and they're very limited, and they've been in existence a long time,
mm-hmm.
And I think that if they really wanted to put a dent, they could increase the size of the paper. But a lot of people would like to tempt people, and see, we don't do that. We have a newspaper. When people buy our newspaper, they're not just being sympathy or sympathetic towards the homeless. We sell a product.
Now you,
Battle could do much more, and I respect them, but everybody has their own goal.
Your newspaper was also the inspiration for the formation of...
That was India Washington talking to us about a week ago from his offices in New York City, where he runs Street News, the largest homeless newspaper in the United States. Good paper. It's cost $1.75, and street vendors, I think, make most of that money. They go out and they buy it for a fraction of that, and then they go sell it, and then they do whatever they want with the money. It becomes a way of supplementing their income. Lots of homeless newspapers are happening throughout the country. More are joining. There's actually a National Association of Street Papers called NASNN, North American Street Newspaper Association, which I'm on the executive committee of. We're trying to encourage low-income papers to begin. We're trying to get newspapers out in different areas like Street Spirit, the San Francisco newspaper you may have seen here in Santa Cruz. You can buy that, and actually you can sell it if you're a homeless person without buying it. We'll give it to you free. You can sell it on the streets and make whatever you can from it. It's usually, you suggest you sell it for a dollar an issue. Get in touch with me at Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom headquarters. That's at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and we'll get you some of those papers, let you know how to get them, and you can sell them. They are good writing. I write articles myself, as do other people you know, and it's up-to-the-minute news, really stuff that isn't covered in the mainstream media, sort of like the radio station you're listening to right now, which is, of course, Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. We give you news you don't get anywhere else, and I suggest you look into Street Spirit. Next, we're going to have a live interview with the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. That's a group that's actually working its fingers to the bone, getting people informed if they're being evicted by landlords and offering to help them. It's the most amazing activist humanitarian effort I've heard of in some time, and we'll talk to Donna Dice shortly. Stay tuned.
Don't put it in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Don't assume it's candy for a minute. Don't take it from the ground or from a strange old man. All the kids have vanished when you wear it. Don't bring it in the house because it's not a toy. Don't you ever point it at your sister. Go put it in your room. I'll wash your mouth with soap. Then I'll put you to its every corner. Did you bring enough for everyone? Keep it to yourself or share or share. Go upstairs and think of what you've done. You're just not my kid, I swear. Don't swing that thing around. You just might poke an eye. Wipe that grin before it sticks forever. Don't leave it on the floor or feed it to the dog. If you break it, you won't get another. How many times do I have to tell you? In one ear and out the other. Don't try talking with your mouth or you're behaving like your father. If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean and safe for later. And don't you put it in your mouth. Don't put it in your mouth. What if you should choke, even though you didn't choke the last time? You jump right off the bridge because the neighbor did. You should try to make your brain work sometimes. Let me see your hands, both sides. Stop that slipping now and blow and blow. What is best for you is best for me. Don't ask why or how, just go, just go, 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 just go. If you don't want to eat, we'll find someone who will. Starving kids in India will love it. And you'll just go to bed and stay there for a week. Or put it in your mouth and swallow it. How many times do I have to tell you? In one ear and out the other. Don't try talking with your mouth full. You're behaving like your father. If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean and safe for later. And don't you put it in your mouth. Get off.
And that was Don't Put It in Your Mouth by Uncle Banzai. Now we have a mouth worth listening to.
Donna Dice of Tenants Rights Union of Santa Cruz. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
So, hey, we haven't talked to you in about a month, I guess. Last we heard, you were trolling for an office, looking to get a grant to help with permits, getting all kinds of help, and just rolling right forward in Grant City. What's happening?
Well, we did get a grant from Vanguard for $2,250. We haven't actually received it yet, but we got approved 13th of June. And we didn't get anything from the city and county, but that's probably fine because we won't be under any political influence from the city or the county.
Uh-huh. So, I know that you were doing, running down to the county building every day or many days a week and looking up to see who is being evicted by unlawful detainer actions. Are you still doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you finding? Is the number increasing, lessening, staying the same?
It's pretty much staying the same right now.
How many a month do you find?
Oh, between 45 and 50 in the county.
Mm-hmm. And do you find the same, are there the same landlords coming up, or is it a varied group?
Well, there's certain attorneys that do come up, and we become familiar with most of them. Some landlords do have a long history. For instance, the one that was written up in the Metro for that article, Dorothy Kamerling, I just saw an eviction she did, which was
remind us of her, what she's famous for.
She has already 13 cases from tenants on her list. The property was very cluttered with a bunch of lawn furniture and, you know, it was not a cozy place.
You think this was the responsibility of the landlord, or
what?
That the property was so cluttered, and
yeah, they were leaning it up against the rental unit in the middle of the night, moving stuff around, and
so the landlord was harassing the tenants.
Yeah, a single woman teacher.
So, how many cases a week do you go to court on yourself? Do you, or do people from the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz go to court on?
Well, we try to keep people from going to court, but we can't track everybody unless they're in contact with us.
Uh-huh. And let's begin by giving your phone number so people who want to get in touch with you can get in touch with you. What is that number?
426-0644.
That's 42... Sorry.
And it's a good thing to write it down because it would cost us about $30 a month to be listed under the business section.
So what are you listed under?
We're not listed.
I see. So if you want to get the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, you got to listen to this show or give a call to 423-HUFF, which is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which also incidentally isn't listed. But we have a number of unlisted numbers here. But I'm listed. My name is Robert Norse, N-O-R-S-E. And your number is not that hard to write down and remember for all you folks with pencils out there. 426-0644 is the number for the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, and we're talking to Donna Dice of the Tenants' Rights Union. 426-0644. What can people do when they call your number? What kind of A services are you providing, if any, and what are you looking for in terms of help?
Well, people want to know what substandard conditions are and what they should do, and landlords charging extra late charges, and managers not cooperating, and $50 to $100 rent increases, and they're afraid, you know, there's a problem going on with the landlord, and they want to know what to do about it. Things like that, as well as people that call because they did receive an unlawful detainer.
Are you very successful in, A, stopping these cases from going to court?
Yeah, a lot of times we help the tenants negotiate, and they learn what papers to file, what boxes to check, so that they are in the maximum negotiating position with the other side by, A, forcing them to pay more money to an attorney, to do paperwork, especially when the tenant is judgment-proof, and checking that they want a jury trial and the settlement conference, because that also takes more time, and they have to make extra court appearances. So if they're not looking at really, you know, getting the money back on this, it's better for them to try to come to some kind of settlement.
Do most cases settle out of court, or do most cases go to court?
I don't know what happens to all the cases. I'd have to go back and get somebody, probably a couple of people, to help me go through all the files since April of last year to really, you know, give you the exact answer on that. But I think there's probably more cases that are settled. Some that definitely go to default. That was the one I saw the other day. Somehow, that one file of Dorothy Kamerling, I couldn't get it for like over a week, and was a default entered on the person by then. So that was kind of strange, but...
What do you mean a default? You mean the person had a judgment rendered against her?
Yeah, because a lot of times if people don't get a card from us, they just don't know what to do. And there's a lot of people that once we tell them where to get the forms and, you know, their time limits and stuff, they're able to file the papers on their own.
So if you're being evicted, or if you're afraid you're going to be evicted by your landlord, or even if you just have some questions about that whole process to give you a sense of knowing what's going on, you can give Donna Dice of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz a call at 426-0644. I'm going to keep interrupting this interview, Donna, with these commercial announcements. But I also, I think that you probably need them to call you for other reasons, don't you?
Well, we're looking for canvassers. Since we got this little grant from Vanguard, we want to do a mass mailing, and we also want people to go into the neighborhoods and see who's interested in joining the union and working with us throughout the county. You know, so we need people in all parts of the county, because there's a lot of people who are very passionate about the fact that their quality of life is being, you know, eroded.
You know, there's a large Spanish-speaking population in Santa Cruz County, or a significant one certainly. And I know that groups like the United Farm Workers in Watsonville and Barrios Unidos here in Santa Cruz certainly have a number of Spanish-speaking poor people associated with them. Have you had much contact with those folks, and are those organizations being helpful in any way? Are you forming any kind of useful links with between TRUSC, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, and Barrios Unidos, or United Farm Workers, or other groups?
Marco does try to speak in Spanish, since he has taken classes in it. Of course, some dialects are harder to understand. However, we've contacted Barrios Unidos and talked to them, as well as Adelitas in Watsonville, which is going to translate some of our things into Spanish.
Uh-huh. So you're actually you're preparing Spanish language translations. That sounds.
Yes, we need to do that.
Have you found that what percentage of the people that get these evictions that you've been aware of are Spanish speaking?
Oh boy, it's a significant amount. I'd say maybe 20-25%.
So you're looking for people to be canvassers?
Yes, and they can actually probably make a little bit of change for themselves, you know, in that, you know, if they're self-motivated to do that. And we do get together usually every Friday night at Spaghetti Feeds, and we share all our points of view and get a feeling for what we're doing, because there's usually some tenants here that are going through eviction, and it's very productive.
So that's tomorrow night. You're going to be chowing down on spaghetti?
Yeah.
Do people bring their own spaghetti, or?
Well, I usually make the spaghetti and salad if people want to bring some bread or
bring your own garlic bread.
Drink. Plenty of garlic is always good.
What's the address people should come to?
It's 157 Franklin, apartment 52.
157 Franklin, apartment 52 in Santa Cruz to chow down on spaghetti and work out strategies for dealing with rent problems with Donna Dice and Marco with the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, also to be reached at 426-0644.
Yes.
So what time again is this tomorrow on Fridays?
It's probably going to be earlier tomorrow because Jefferson Airplane is at the Boardwalk tomorrow night, so we're going to make it 5 o'clock.
Uh-huh. So you're having a 5 o'clock spaghetti feed?
Mm-hmm.
And again, the address is?
157 Franklin 52. Please call first so I'll know who's coming. I'll know how much spaghetti sauce to put on.
426-0644 if you want to get in line for spaghetti and possibly donate a few meatballs. Who knows? I don't know, you're maybe vegetarian over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I was vegetarian. We don't
maybe vegetarian meatballs. or some chunks of broccoli. Who knows? You know, I know that I'd heard that Marco had also been up in the East Bay working with establishing links with other tenants' organizations, sort of for a statewide tenants' union conference. Have you been making contacts with other cities?
Marco does make contacts in San Francisco and Oakland. I haven't recently, except by letter.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been kind of on the scene in Santa Cruz last week or two in court.
There's been some interesting cases lately.
Tell me about them.
Well, the Girl Scouts is evicting a family with four children.
Is this because they're gay or because they're atheists?
No, they just their employment was connected to their housing, so they generously gave them 2 weeks to move.
Oh, nice.
After 9 years service and four small children, which it makes it much more difficult to find a suitable place, losing your job and housing and being told 2 weeks is a generous amount of time to get it all together,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Wow. So, did they succeed in evicting the tenants?
Well, it's in process now. They called conflict resolution, and I'm going to be in contact with them to see the extent of the kind of cases they deal with, because they said she was very upset, the wife, in that particular case.
You mean they suddenly lowered the boom on her after 9 years?
Yeah.
They didn't give her any warning? Or 2 weeks warning, that's what they gave her? This is the Girl Scouts who we buy our cookies from.
Yes.
Those tasty chocolate cookies that I like so much.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It's really shocking. Am I going to have to go to buy Mystic Mints at Safeway or something?
Better stick to the health food store.
No.
And it depends on which health food store.
Yeah, really?
Because I don't know if you know a Mr. Locatelli.
No, who's that?
He owns New Leaf in Boulder Creek.
Right.
And they just put in a big, new, expensive store. Well, he also owns property across the street that's dilapidated and falling apart. He's renting a business there, which is a fitness place, and not making repairs on that while putting up a brand new Leaf.
Well, that's the way you make money, isn't it?
And saying, why are you bothering me with the fact that Sheetrock's falling on your people on the treadmill?
I see. So.
And the wiring is ready for a meltdown, according to PG&E.
I see. So in other words, it's difficult times for those athletic trainers in there, eh?
Well, it really burns me when somebody rich can't take care of their property and yet is charging $2,000 a month rent.
Wow.
I think these people should be exposed, and that's why I don't mind mentioning their name, because they like to appear like they're nice guys, but I'm telling you,
the name of this person again is?
Locatelli.
How do you spell that?
I'm not sure. I think it's L-O-C-A-T-I-L-L-I.
Locatelli, and this is the fellow who owns a property in Boulder Creek?
Yeah, New Leaf there.
New Leaf.
Brand new, beautiful.
So what about the New Leaf downtown? What's with that?
I don't know.
I see. Well, I know we've had some criticism of New Leaf downtown for different reasons regarding their anti-homeless policies, but
they don't have sales either, so they are very expensive.
I think, how many people have you got working now for Trusk? I know you were trying to do a kind of a membership drive where you're encouraging everyone to donate $2. How many people have done that?
Well, it's not coming in at a great rate.
As you say, if you're getting help from Trusk or you think that Trusk should receive your support, how could people send you $2?
P.O.
Box 7484.
Yes.
Santa Cruz.
We'll put you on our list.
And you can go onto the right kind of list this time. Anything particular coming up we should know about that you want people to attend, other than the spaghetti feed tomorrow, for which people should call 426-0644.
I did want to comment on another trailer park that's evidently bilking elderly deceased people out of their belongings that don't have families and trying to buy up all the property. And the trailers they do own are all illegal units.
Huh. And who is the proud practicer of this particular...
Aspromonte.
Aspromonte.
Aspromonte. If you want to check these people out, you can check them out right there in the clerk's office, room 101. Put their name in the computer and, you know, let me know what you come up with.
And you're claiming this fellow is ripping off the dead?
This is what we've heard, and they own like 70% of the units, and those are the ones that have all been tagged as illegal. They're still charging rents for those units, which are, you know, almost $600 a month.
So they're charging rent for illegal units?
Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with the death of the people, or is the death coincidental?
Well, they're trying to take over 100% of the park.
And how are they doing this?
So they're putting in pressure on the people there to sell their units, not allowing them to sell to outside sources. They're trying to get a rock bottom price from them. And I guess the manager has been sexually harassing some of the elderly females in an attempt to think, oh boy, here's my last fling, I'll give my trailer to him.
My goodness, this series of charges could bring you up for a significant slander suit, you realize. Are you prepared to deal with that, Donna Dice?
I don't think anybody's listening that's interested in that.
I'm afraid that you're probably right, but hopefully that a lot of people are listening and will examine these concerns and allegations very carefully, and also will give you at Tenants Rights Union of Santa Cruz the support you need to keep on looking into who's being evicted and offering your help and your assistance and services. Again, the phone number to call is 426-0644. We've been talking with Donna Dice of the Tenants Rights Union of Santa Cruz. Is there anything you want to add, Donna?
Well, we're following San Francisco's latest tenant activities that have been coming up in the Chronicle and elsewhere. They just voted 7-0 for protecting the disabled and elderly there from eviction. And we want that in Santa Cruz. And I'm going to be writing a letter to Christine Minahan if anybody wants her address. She's at the Western Center for Law and Poverty in Sacramento. She's the only legislator working on tenant legislation. If you want to tell your eviction story or comment in any way about legislation that you think should be passed regarding renters' rights, please contact her. She needs to hear from us.
And to get, again, that name and number, just give a call.
Christine Minahan.
Well, give a call. I'm going to have people call you because that would be an easier way for them to get this number. You're at 426-0644.
Right.
Well, much thanks, Donna, and we're going to move to the last segment of the show in our last 15 minutes here on 96.3 of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, but I hope people get in touch with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Keep up the good work.
All right. You too.
And keep the big boys out of your space.
I would hope we can do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, so far those big boys... haven't come into the station, except for me. I'm a pretty big boy, but that's another story. Well, my fearless producer, Becky Johnson, has just handed me a tape made up of the segments from the Berkeley City Council meeting, but we're really rolling into the last 15 minutes. We're going to play a bit of this tape and hope that we can play the rest of it on Sunday when we return. Bathrobe's Pierre's Broadsides, boy, say that one fast, returns on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning and runs slightly longer on Sundays from 11 to 1:30. We got 2.5 hours. But I believe Uncle Dennis is coming in at 8, and he will probably be filling the studio with the calls of the wild with his Earth First show, and so we're going to have to hit the road. But until that happens, we're going to play a bit of the Berkeley City Council meeting of Tuesday. Quite a council meeting. And here it is, the debate on the sitting ban law.
I'd like to thank the the council were passing its recent budget that includes a lot of services for homeless individuals on Telegraph Avenue. But I think that we should wait and see wait for that to work before trying any kind of these measures that are going to take away our civil liberties. This affects not only people who are homeless, but also students and people who travel here. This is not a practical solution to a real problem. It does not help students, it does not help tourists, it does not help the homeless, and it does not help residents of Berkeley. I'd like to yield the rest of my time to Iron Man O.C. Fimba.
Hello, my name is Ayumi Osei-Kernpong. I'm an associate student at the University of California President, the elected representative of the students of the university to make the Southside area more aesthetically pleasing and increase commercial activity. However, I do not agree with this way of doing it. I think this law can take three motives. It can take three ways. Number one, it would create a superfluous baggage on the municipal code if it doesn't get enforced. And if it does get enforced, and if it gets enforced strictly, it would infringe on the passive rights of the citizens of Berkeley. And I do not think that a benevolent motive in front of the university had. I also think that if we enforce this law selectively, it would not bode well just because it would breed corruption and inequity in the people enforcing it. And I'd like to yield the rest of my time to Roy Brock.
Hi, my name is Roy Brockman, and I guess we can't come into our Berkeley streets, but all of us in the city have in common is we all sit on the street. Now, I'm sat on the street whether I was waiting for a movie at Shattuck, or I'm sat on the street whether I was waiting to meet friends, and I work as a consultant at Telegraph Avenue, and I also run a business on Shattuck Avenue, and there's no place on those streets where anyone can sit that is public. Now, if you're so concerned about having people being comfortable and people being more pleasant, then perhaps you should have public benches. But the only place I'm coming in front of you, and I really hope that you're not going to make the only place where you can sit in Berkeley will be the public toilets that you're going to be introducing to you about now.
Hi.
Casting us down to the ground, I don't know why I'm not worthy of breathing the same air as everybody else. Also, I'd like to maybe challenge the city council to empty their wallets and go out one night and spend the night sleeping on the streets and spend maybe 20 bucks. You're trying to start a fight with everybody, whether it's putting a volleyball court. It always seems like you're trying to start something with everybody. Why not just like help it out or let everybody live their own life? I'm also an attendant for disabled people, and you should really consider giving that money to Easy Does It. I end up having to be on call all the time instead of just working a normal shift because it's so impossible to get somebody from Easy Does It to come within hours that, you know, it's like I'm giving up part of my life doing that. But
to us.
We're listening to the Berkeley City Council's discussion of the sit lie ban, which would have made it illegal to sit on any commercial district sidewalk throughout Berkeley. That measure was defeated 5-4. You're hearing the Tuesday night debate on that issue. Some of the Berkeley City Council meeting from last Tuesday on the Berkeley Sit Lie Law. Unfortunately, the soundtrack is a bit garbled. I'm going to try to get a better soundtrack for the Sunday show so we can actually hear it more intelligibly. A lot of eloquent speakers there and effective speakers. And, of course, more important than that, people who emailed in, who called in, who wrote in were effective in changing the mind of Councilmember Breland, who changed her vote and giving a victory 5-4 for those who said it should not be a crime for people to sit down simply on the street, or I should say on the sidewalk, not on the street, which is a crime and blocking traffic, but on the sidewalk off to the side, which is, of course, causing no problem whatsoever. So that was a victory, and again, we need more victories of that sort, particularly around the more profound issue of dealing with police behavior that makes people who are sitting on the sidewalk criminals even when they're not violating any laws. And that's the problem I talked today with to Councilmember Chris Worthington, who's probably one of the most liberal council members up in Berkeley, next to Madel Sharik, who's the vice mayor, who's probably more liberal than he is, or more radical, you might say. And the real question is, he sees it as a matter of winning the election in 1998, changing the mayor, getting liberals in positions of power, dumping the city manager, who's just about as bad as our city manager, Dick Wilson. His name is Keen. He's a keen pain in the ass. To give you one example, the Police Review Commission, for the first time in its history, has actually sent directed staff members, up to Telegraph Avenue to receive complaints about police misconduct right there in the scene of battle. Well, the city manager has forbidden that from happening. He said that cannot happen. He will not allow that to happen. He controls the staff, he says, and he's directed them not to do that. So here is an example of a city manager directly intervening to make a police review board ineffectual. Of course, it's interesting to compare it with our own Citizens Police Review Board here in Santa Cruz, which is a complete joke. Interestingly enough, I repeatedly tried to get in touch with them throughout the last month around issues of not censoring the public, not punishing them for trying to speak at the same length of time that, let's say, police officers or Police Officers Association representatives spoke, as happened to me in April. And they refused to even respond to the letters that I guess the attorney that sent a letter on my behalf, Kate Wells, did get a kind of a wandering response from increasingly senile Citizens Police Review Board member Alan Lang. I use that term advisedly, not simply out of malice for Alan, who's actually one of the few council members, or actually police review board members here in Santa Cruz, who calls me back. But because it really describes his situation, he forgets meetings. He's at a loss. He's really kind of getting into a non-compos mentis state. And even though he probably is the only original member on the board, and perhaps in many ways a liberal person, he's really long overdue for retirement. The entire board is really long overdue for retirement, but for other reasons, because they're ideologically constrained, essentially. They either completely lack the courage to do anything about police misconduct, or they are so tied up in legalisms that they can't think about the first step to take. Anyway, I'm going to get out of this show a little bit early tonight, so Uncle Dennis, for the first time in history, will actually have the opportunity to go on the air on time, maybe even have a minute to spare for a couple of extra bird calls or crackles from the woods. We're going to go out on one of my favorite old songs, which you probably have heard before, by Uncle Banzai from their album Boys Want Sex in the Morning, called Fat Boys. This is a song that, for obvious reasons, I'm a great fan of.
Skinny boys got nothing to lean against in bed. Bony arms and shoulders only bruise my head. And when they try to wrestle me, I beat them pound for pound. Skinny boys got nothing to wrap your arms around. Skinny boys got visions of godlike qualities, but every time I greet one, there's nothing there to squeeze. All that wasted effort, all that vanity. Skinny boys got visions of immortality. Something about those muscle-bound boys practicing to clean and jerk, oiling up their bodies for the shine. Never like those tan and lean boys. Too much pressure, too much work, looking in the mirror for a sign. I just want a baby fat boy, double-sized and double-chinned, belly big and pillow to my mirror.